This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome back to Plainly Down a Rabbit Hole, the podcast which hopes to stimulate your interest in something or other every fortnight and then send you hurtling down a rabbit hole via links on our Facebook page to the rabbit hole, which is the internet and, to a certain extent, library books. Also, with every broadcast, there will be two or three music tracks, which are freely available on YouTube or Spotify. The topic of this edition is how happiness levels change during the course of our lives. When I was 17, the headmistress of my school individually interviewed each of the young women in my year. Though I can't remember most of the conversation, one question that has stayed with me was being asked what I wanted from life. The best answer I could come up with at the time was the desire to simply be happy. Nothing very inspiring there. But her unexpected reaction has stayed with me down the intervening years. This elderly, fragile woman paused, staring wistfully into the middle distance, before finally replying, as much I felt to herself than to me, "Yes, but what is happiness?" There we were, two women separated by decades, at two extremes of adult life. I was a little taken aback that, apparently, despite her years of experience, she still seemed not to know the answer to the question she posed. In the last few decades, there have been a number of research projects concerning the subjective assessment of our levels of happiness in relationship to age stages of life. While there isn't absolute agreement as to a specific age of contentment, all the research does show a consistent pattern of happiness over the course of the majority of our lives. Generally speaking, we tend to have two periods when we are at our happiest. The first occurs in early adulthood. It's not especially marked or long-lasting. The other time, though, is common and steadily seems to increase as the years progress. You may be surprised to learn that happiness after the age of 60 becomes greater and greater. And if you're lucky enough to live long enough, some research shows that happiness peaks in one's early 80s. In other words, if you had a graph and plotted the level of happiness over the course of a lifetime, you would see an inverted U-shape. At least, that's the picture in affluent Western countries. So, what does this tell us about the nature of happiness? I have now reached about the same age as my headmistress when she spoke to me all those years ago. Am I looking into the middle distance to give a wistful answer to the question, what is happiness? What would your answer be? While I give you a bit of time to think about that, let's have a piece of music. And when I return, I'll be asking Lou to give us the answer. In the meantime, here is Mary Margaret O'Hara with When You Know Why You're Happy. So, welcome back into the studio. It's Lou.
Hello.
How you been?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good now.
Haven't seen you for a bit.
Well, not on the podcast. I have seen you. Came and did a bit of my gardening.
Ooh.
Anyway, yes, good to see you.
Thank you.
So I hope you find this an interesting topic.
Oh, I love it. It's fascinating.
Okay. So, I think that, well, while there's been this research into seeing this pattern for what happens over a lifetime, after that, when you read the articles, which I'm going to post on our Facebook page, most of the rest of it, most of it, is speculation about why we tend to have this pattern in our lives of highs and lows of happiness. But there is one little bit of science in amongst it, and that is about that may explain why in our senior years we start getting really happy. And I think this is quite amusing, because it seems that there are brain changes, as you might expect, and one of those centres around the amygdala, which is part of your brain, which deals with emotion.
I see.
Your amygdala shrinks once you get to around about 60.
Like a prune or a raisin?
We're not talking about your brain. We're talking about brains generally. Why do I let you in the studio?
How to put Jane off with train of thought.
Yeah, thanks. So where was I? Oh, yes, the amygdala. So, yeah, it shrinks. Because it deals with emotions, it's proposed, and I think perhaps generally recognised, that levels of anxiety and worry and so on reduce. And this could be why we just feel happier. We're just not troubled anymore.
Mm.
And I think we all know that as you get older, you, for example, you care less and less about what other people think of you, which is really comforting. Having reached that kind of age, I'm quite happy to be like that. And it may be false, but who cares? Well, you know, maybe it's not false. Maybe
there's
we
no
shouldn't
fault.
Worry.
I don't
about
think there's even any falsity
no.
in caring or not caring. I think it's just a fact that
no.
you care less.
But at least on a personal level. I mean, I don't think it means that you care less about your family or maybe the wider community, but certainly about yourself, because your anxiety is usually about yourself, isn't it?
It's about being accepted. If somebody thinks that you look okay in your new jacket or if your new haircut looks a bit silly, I think as you get older,
I hope
that
you're not
matters.
Being personal here.
She just bought a new jacket.
Yeah. And I cut my own hair, which is probably a worry. Looks all right at the front, but I can't see the back, so I don't worry about it.
Well, I cut my own hair too.
Yeah, yours looks fine. Turn around. Let's have a look at the back. Oh, you say, how did you do that?
Just
yeah, I don't think mine's quite so good from the back. But anyway, yeah, so oh, where are we going?
But happiness, I really think that when you let go of those little things, like if you pin your happiness on if somebody else likes your haircut or not, that's not important to me.
Oh, no, it just means you're a sad person.
Oh, I'm really sad. I'm ultra sad. And my clothing, it's really not nice and lovely and all that. I don't really... I wear my clothes for practical reasons.
And thank God she does.
So I can weed in Jane's garden without thorns and things.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I think happiness and acceptance go hand in hand. And I think as you get older, there is more acceptance of who you are. And I find it really fascinating that there is science about the amygdala as well to go with it.
And of course, we need to point out, though I have reached that point of a diminishing amygdala, you haven't. So you don't know how good it's going to get.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you thought the answer to when people are most happy might be in your, say, 40s or 50s, that's just wrong. Generally speaking, I mean, this is not for everybody. Some people have wonderful time in their middle years, but this is just generally the whole population.
So let me ask you then, because you have been through the other period that is sometimes cited as being pretty good, was early 20s or, you know, around about that kind of age. How was it for you?
I came out of school and was on the dole for a long time, for about a year. I had very, very little money. I couldn't catch a bus or send a letter to my friend, and in the UK, kind of broke. So financially very challenging, and it wasn't that great. I didn't particularly like my early 20s, and I was suffering mental illness also. So okay. that wasn't a great time
for
me.
So you're the exception to this research. I'm not.
Tell us, Jane, what did you get up to?
18. I'm not going to tell you everything. Leave it to your imagination. But when I was about to turn 18, I came up with a list of all the things I wanted to do when I was 18. I couldn't write it down anywhere because my mother had a tendency to rummage through my belongings, and I surely didn't want her to find this list. I think number one, but actually probably number two on the list was to leave home. And then I can't remember how long the list was, but by the end of my 18th year, I had accomplished all of them.
Woo woo!
Yeah, I know, it was great. I had a ball. It was just so good. But that one about leaving home was really central to it. And I think perhaps it is not necessarily universal, because, well, clearly it's not, because it didn't happen to you, but it does figure for a lot of people because of the leaving home. It's that suddenly becoming an adult, having freedom, making your own choices. And there is a sense, I think, for a lot of us at that age to feel that the world is our oyster.
Yes.
And how wonderful that is. The number of different things that may eventuate, how exciting it all is. And then, I mean, the reasons why you get this inverted U-shape, but it's sort of all after, you know, early 20s, it all goes pear-shaped and, I'm mixing metaphors, sorry. But if it sort of does decline, as it does for a lot of people, the reasons for that are kind of speculative. So let's speculate. I think that once you've got past that exuberance of leaving home and beginning to experience lots of things, you then find yourself maybe at university doing a course that is hard yakka, and you worry about your exams and things like that. Or you've started a job and you've had to start a lowly job and it's not very interesting, and you realise you've got to work your way up. And then you want to have a partner in life, and so you have to sort of start meeting new people. And that can be fun, but it can also be a period of anxiety.
A roller coaster.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hadn't as well perhaps got the emotional maturity to handle the ups and downs very well either.
Yes.
And then the next thing, you're in your 30s.
What were your 30s like?
Were you married by that time?
Yep.
Yep.
I had my first child at 32.
Yep.
Had bought a house. And, yeah, so pregnancy and young children. Yeah. An extremely challenging time.
Yeah. There's the financial strain as well that goes along with all of that.
Yeah.
And maybe, I mean, children are wonderful. It's an absolute highlight for me. When I had my son, and that actually, it wasn't just the moment I had my son, it lasted a while. But, you know, it's actually hard yakka bringing
it's
up children.
It's extremely hard, and you don't get the book, and you don't know what you're doing is right or wrong.
Yeah.
You have to learn to believe in yourself and hold your head high and do your best. And accept that you're going to have failures and just continue to try your best.
Yeah.
But it's always a struggle mentally just to believe in what you're trying to do is the best thing for them.
Yes. And I think, you know, if our children were to hear us saying, you know, what a struggle it was to bring up this person, it's no reflection on them. It's just the nature of parenthood.
Yeah.
You know, I love my son enormously, but it got harder, particularly into teenage years. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't his fault. That was because he was going through teenagehood, which we all know is really difficult. And I didn't cope with that very well as a parent. But I do think, and I've often said actually, that when you first have a child, that when the midwife hands over this bundle of little wonderfulness over to you, they should be saying something like, please hold your gift of everlasting guilt.
Yes! Parenthood is the profession of guilt.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It is so hard. So, it obviously comes with many, many, many upsides.
But again, if we can accept that we have failures.
Yes.
And that acceptance.
I think this is a good moment to take another piece of music. And then we'll come back and maybe discuss, the period of that you're in at the moment and why that's not so great for a lot of people, not necessarily for you, Lou. And also the 50s as well. But anyway, let's have another piece of music. This is the wonderful Dusty Springfield with Brand New Me.
This is my same old car and my same old shoes. I was the same old me with the same old blues. Then you touched my life just by holding my hand. Now I look in the mirror and see brand new girl. I got a brand new walk, a brand new smile. Since I met you, baby, I got a brand new style. Just because I'm new, boy, just because of you. Just because I'm new, boy, just because of you. The same old sins, I tell the same old jokes, give the same old grin. But now the jokes sound new, and the laughter does too. Every day of my life is fresh as morning dew. Just because I'm new.
So, Lou, you're now into your 40s.
Yes.
How's it going so far?
Circumstances over the last few years have been challenging.
Yep.
But as far as happiness goes, despite the challenges, I feel good.
Okay.
It's about the friendships and the laughter and connections with people, and I'm learning more about myself and how to develop good friendships.
Yes.
And my children are getting more self-sufficient, and it gives me more freedom.
I think that's really exciting, Lou. And I think you may be right. I also think that there's lots of reasons for that, you know, your life circumstance and the fact that you have good health and all these things.
Yeah.
But I do think as well that you
have shriveling amygdala. Shriveling amygdala.
No, I don't think you had it in the first place. No, I don't mean that. No, what I mean is I think you have, like nobody else I've met actually, have really taken on board the stoic thing, and I think that that's really helped you.
I hope so. Yeah.
But I'm so impressed with the way that you have thought about it and actually started practicing it. I think that's amazing. Most people just go, oh yeah, it's a good idea, and then forget about it.
But what you were sharing with us about the Stoics' ideas fitted with me. It was it was a perfect jigsaw puzzle fitted to me perfectly.
Yes.
I want to accept that there is a possibility I get hit by a bus and I die tomorrow.
Yep.
So make the most of today.
Yeah,
enjoy it. You know, have that long walk where I get lots of happy drugs going through my veins, or eat the cake, or buy a bunch of flowers and see you have a smile on your face. You know?
Thank you, Lou. You can buy me flowers anytime you like.
Thank you very much.
Okay, look, time is really running out. And, oh, there comes the music, in fact, telling us to leave. So say goodbye, Lou.
Bye, everyone.
And goodbye from me too. I hope you've enjoyed the broadcast. We will be back in 2 weeks with another subject, though. I'm not sure what it will be. So bye-bye all.
Bye.
And thanks for listening.